Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 15, reading verse 1 through 6. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Heavenly Father, we praise you, magnify your name. Lord, I kneel at your feet in prayer. I look to you. I'm asking your help, your grace, your power and anointing, your mercy, your leading, guidance, what have you. I need your help to preach what I believe that you've given me today. And furthermore, I pray for those listening that you give them understanding, that you'd somehow move in their hearts that they would want to follow Jesus closer, perhaps, than they ever have before. And Lord, we praise you and worship you, and in that marvelous and matchless name of Jesus Christ, amen. He said, "I am the true vine, and without abiding in him," it says, "we can accomplish nothing." Too many times, and I've seen this in Baptist churches, Assembly of God churches, Church of God churches, Methodist churches, you name it. We get our eyes on our denomination, or our group, or our church, or our this, or our that. We busy ourselves with the things, the activities, the programs, what have you, and we miss the Lord. We miss the Lord. And again, I'm not talking about your church, I'm talking about my church too. Please don't misunderstand. Because the goal of this program here on the radio is not that you'd leave your church and come to mine, but that we'd all leave our churches and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him first. Sure, by all means, attend church. Be involved in the activities. Pray for your pastor. If they got this program or that, you want to be in it, by all means, do it. Please, go ahead. But let's get our eyes on Jesus Christ first. First. Let's make sure that we see the forest and not just the few trees that are in front of our eyes. Last time, we talked about Gideon. And I don't want to preach that sermon again, but there were a whole lot of folk that said, "Hey, let's go fight. And he said, no, that's too many. And he set down, what was it, 22,000, and said, look, y'all, go home, what have you. We'll handle it from here. 10,000 left. And God said, no, that's still too many. Still too many. And then by the foolishness of seeing who lapped water like a dog, it said, God decided and winnowed the field, narrowed the field, till there were 300 left. And we said symbolically that those 300 were preachers. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, what have you. The preachers. The 10,000, that second group, they were the ones that were the prayers. The ones that prayed. The ones that stood and said, Lord, help those out there fighting. Lord, help our pastor, help our preacher, help our missionary down in Africa, whatever the case. Praying for the preachers. But these pitchers, that the oil lamp was inside of the pitchers, and as they went to battle, they broke the pitchers. And the light then could be seen through the cracks in the broken pottery. We quoted the verse that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Again, I don't want to preach that sermon again, but I needed to set it up for today's lesson. In Mark chapter 14 and other places, Mark 14 verse 3, it says of Jesus, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat or sat down to the table to eat. There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, perfume, whatever it was, of spikenard, whatever spikenard is. Very precious, it says. And I'm not a woman, I don't really understand all this stuff, but you go to JCPenney or Macy's or something like that. Go to the perfume section, you get the best one. Not the $40 one, but the $240 one. The best one. Very precious. But whatever this spikenard, this ointment of spikenard, it was very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And again, just like they had the earthenware vessels, the pitchers, back then they had different containers than we have today. Today we'd have something in glass or plastic. But it says it was a box, whether it was square or not, I don't know. It was made of some material that was able to hold some liquid. It was an alabaster box, first off. Alabaster is some kind of mineral or something that's supposed to be valuable. Not just a cardboard-lined box, but something valuable in itself. Forget what was inside. The box itself was costly. Then this ointment of spikenard inside of it. Again, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. But she broke the box. Again, it didn't have a screw top or pull tab. The only way to get it was to break it. But after she broke the box, opened it, what have you, she poured it on his head, it says. And if you read the passage, and I won't, but it says that this was his anointing for burial. Just hours later, he'd be betrayed, what have you, whatever the case was. Crucified for us. And it was after, days later, remember, on the Sunday morning, they went, because they were not able to do so because of this rule and that, what have you, they were not able to go and prepare the body for burial. They went late to the tomb, and they found it empty and what have you. But this woman, she gave an offering. Again, a very costly offering. She broke this box of alabaster with the ointment inside, poured it on his head. anointing him for burial. Again, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And just as the oil lamp that Gideon had was inside of the earthen vessel, the only way to get the light out was to break the pitcher. The only way to get this ointment out was to break the box. But again, it was an alabaster box. It was an important box, but still it had to be broken. Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, and it's in other places. And he commanded the multitude to sit down upon the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed, he broke, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Again, I said it's in many places. Mark chapter 14, verse 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, and blessed, and brake it, and gave to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Luke chapter 9, verse 16. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them, and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before the multitude. Luke chapter 24, this was after the resurrection. It's a long passage, and I want to read a little bit more than I should, I suppose, but you'll get the message. Luke chapter 24, verse 25 through 32. Then he said unto them, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And as they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is evening, the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass that as he sat at meat with them," this is familiar by now, "he took bread, and blessed, and brake, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, because he did what he had always done. He took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave." Their eyes were open, and they knew him, and it says he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" You've got to get this point. These are the 2 disciples. They're on the road to Emmaus. Again, this was after Jesus had risen from the dead. Jesus fell in step with them, and they didn't recognize him. Now, that's a big question in itself. He had a public preaching ministry for 3.5 years. I don't know how long these 2 disciples had been with him. Maybe they showed up only the last 6 months to hear him preach and what have you. I don't know. Doesn't say. But still, even if they had been with him for 6 months, why didn't they recognize the Lord after he had risen from the dead? That's a sermon. That's a question. That's something to scratch your head over. Again, I said at the beginning that many times we don't see the forest for the trees. We get so involved in the things of the world, we get so involved in the things of the church, we get so involved, and we don't see the Lord. And again, I'm not chiding anyone. These two disciples, they were disciples. It specifically says they were his disciples. They didn't just attend church on Sunday. They knew the man. He would go from town to town preaching. They followed him, preaching with him, perhaps, or certainly in the crowd. They knew him. But after the resurrection, they didn't recognize him. Remember when Mary, the first one there, I think it was, at his resurrection, she thought that he was the gardener. Of all people, Mary, one of the Marys, for two or three, I guess, of all people, Mary should have known, should have recognized Jesus Christ. But she didn't. She thought he was just a gardener. And then when he addressed her, he called her name. Then she recognized the way he pronounced her name. And then her eyes were open. She knew who it was. So again, I'm not chiding anyone when I say today in our churches, we miss the Lord. Because we miss the Lord. We have his Spirit with us. We have the canon of Scripture, the 66 books to learn from. We have much preaching, what have you. Much Bible reading, hopefully. But if his own disciples that walk with him day and day and day didn't see him, didn't understand him, didn't recognize him, then we need to listen up and take note, because we miss him too. But it says here, and I read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 instances, where it says that when Jesus prayed, thanking God for the food that they were going to eat, it wasn't a rote prayer that he did. It wasn't a religious thing that he did. But even his prayers had a purpose. It says he took bread and blessed. He prayed, thanking God for the food. In one place it says that our food is sanctified through prayer. He took bread and blessed it, and then he broke it, and then he gave it to whoever else was there eating. And again, I've read 5 references where it says the same thing. He took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave to other folks. He says, I'm the bread of life in John. But this bread, this physical food, it says, and I'll go over it again, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave to them. It's a pattern that he did over and over and over again. And the two disciples on the road to Emmaus recognized his manner, his method. And I'll say it again. He took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave. That is his way. That's the Lord Jesus' way of feeding people. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this precious ointment of spikenard in an alabaster box that has to be broken before it can be used. This little light of mine, as I quoted last time, I'm going to let it shine. You want to let it shine, that's good. But you have to be broken. You have to be broken like these pitchers. You have to be broken like the alabaster box. And you have to be broken the Lord's way if we're to be used to feed other folks. If we're to carry the gospel. Again, the light in that pitcher. He's the light of the world. We're to tell others about that light, etc. We're to preach him, lead others to Christ, etc. We have to be broken. But let's take a look at this took, blessed, break, and gave. When we come to God, when we're truly born again, when God does a miracle in our hearts and lives, when He changes us miraculously, and I don't mean I've been in church all my life, I don't mean I shook the preacher's hand, I don't mean, well, I got a gold star in Sunday school this week, I don't mean any of that stuff. I mean when you truly get saved. Again, you can get saved sitting in church, you can get saved in Sunday school, you can get saved taking a shower. But you need to be saved. First off, you've got to know that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've got to know it. There's got to be something that you can point to and say, well, I know on such and such a day, that's when He changed my life. But He takes you out of the world. He takes you from whatever you were doing, however you were living your life, going to bars on Friday and Saturday night, or whatever the case, like me. He took me out of that. He took me from smoking dope. He took me from sin. If He takes you, that's what you need. But He takes you, and then He blesses you. My own testimony for about a year or so, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. I knew the Lord's leading. I knew I had His Spirit in my heart, in my life, and resting upon me. I understood the Word of God and ate it up. Things were great for a year or so. And then things began to get a little harder. Again, He took me, He blessed me. But then He began to break me. Get mad if you want. I was raised South Louisiana. I was a Democrat. Get mad if you want. But I began to see that the way of righteousness and the planks of the Democratic Party didn't match up. Get mad if you want. But this is not a political sermon. But my point is, He changed me. He broke me. I had my own ways, my own thoughts, my own desires, my own methods. He began to say, no, you can't do that no more. You can't think like that no more. You can't act like that no more. He broke me. And that lasted a long time. That lasted quite a number of years of breaking. But look at me today, and you may look at me and laugh, I guess. But I've gone to several countries preaching the gospel. I'm on this radio station. Thank the Lord for it. I'm in the ministry. Used to hold credentials with a certain body, had a license to preach, what have you. And you listen every Sunday, some of you, not because you're bored, not because, well, I got to do something before church, but because you sense the presence of God and you know the doctrine I preach. It tells you of Christ. You see, He took me out of the world. He blessed me for a couple of years. Then He began the wilderness experience in my life for a long time. For a long, hard time. Didn't enjoy it. But then I was ready to be used. And again, it's His way. As we read 5 times here, it's His way to take, to bless, to break, and then to give. Let Him do His work in your heart. Let Him do His work in your life. Let Him show you His ways. Allow the Holy Spirit to do the breaking in your heart so that He can then give you, use you in the ministry or a deacon position or passing out hot dogs on Saturday night or whatever the case. He can use you, but there's got to be the breaking first. And I urge you, let Him do His work in your life. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's JOEYKELLY.net/ ministry. and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.